My brother's ready. Am I on? All right. Tonight I have a Bible study for you called Rise Up, Ye Women. Where should women speak? It's a very important question. Dear Father, I do pray that you'll be with us. Help us through these questions that require balance, where the devil will have us err on either side. Now speak to us. Encourage some ladies to speak up where they should. We thank you for them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. My text is Isaiah 32. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. There's never been a time for women to rise up and care about what Satan has corrupted like there is now. The judgments that are coming upon us and already on us, it's so important. What has already been lost? What is about to be lost? I think God wants some women to care. And you know, great things can happen when women start caring. We've seen this in history. But Satan's very much involved in this question of women rising up. Because his goal will be to have you sit down and be quiet when you should speak up in the right way at the right time. And then he'll have you rise up in a way God never intended, in the wrong place, in the wrong way. And that's what's happening today in many ways. But we do see both problems. We see a lot of women silent when they should not be passive and silent. And we see a lot of women trying to pastor churches and take upon themselves men's roles. And that's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, where Eve was talked into becoming the first feminist. The Bible says many will leave their place in the last days, their houses, and they'll rule in ways that will be a judgment upon themselves and the whole nation. But the devil will also have women to be careless. Careless. I don't care about anything. So they don't use their gifts to plead and persuade and call many to repentance. I'm not going to be able to 100% possibly tonight answer every single question about time or place or manner. But as a church, as a pastor, we seek to find God's balance in the best way that we can. And that's why I want to just go through some of these things, maybe rather quickly. But I want to give you a foundation to think about, okay? I want to give you a foundation to begin reasoning and questioning these things so we can seek God's spirit of when you need to be quiet and when you need to plead and speak and be a mother in Israel and start taking care of some business. There have been many slanders about what fundamental pastors such as myself actually believe and teach about women. There's been some exaggerations, some straw men. I want you to notice what's happening just today in the news. Here's headline for today. Congress is on verge of including women over 18 in the military draft. Republicans slam bid that could pass next week as a bid to further ridiculous political equality role. For the first time in the United States, 245-year history, American women could be required to sign up for the Selective Service, with legislation expanding the draft expected to get the green light from Congress. But earlier this month, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley introduced an amendment to strip the gender-neutral Selective Service language out of the NDAA. And then you have Republican Representative Vicky Hartzler of Missouri spoke out against the measure on Wednesday morning. We've been blessed on just about every issue to have leaders from Missouri at the forefront of some of these things of liberty. We got to keep praying. Little churches like this, we got to keep praying for our leaders, amen? Because God's blessing, and we pray they'll continue. Do you realize what they're saying here? They want to require your daughters, your grandchildren, to be drafted into the military where their body becomes the federal government's body. And they have to take whatever vaccines and whatever, and have to be in places with men, and they have to get out here and do things that God never intended them to do. God in the Bible enlisted men as soldiers. You understand that? Not women and not children, by the way. More can be said about that. Notice, this is God-ordained and God-created nature. Jeremiah 50, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots, and they shall become as women. Why would God, the Creator, say the mighty soldiers of this kingdom will become as women if it was proper for women to serve in the military in combat roles and such things as that? Jeremiah 51, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath fell. They became as women. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing stronger than a woman when it comes to doing womanly things and doing things that God designed her to do that we could never, ever duplicate or in any way go without. But there are things God called men to do. And women are a poor duplication for what God has called men to do, see. And nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody's allowed to talk about it. See, all the scholars with all the science and all the scientists with their studies, and all, they're not allowed to even show you the differences between men and women. And if you don't know the difference between a man or a woman, you are blind. You're in denial. I don't remember and I don't know anything about it, but I saw a headline where there was some fight between some woman and some man and one of these things. Maybe y'all know more about it. She was like some world-renowned arm wrestler or something, and it was so sad because I didn't watch it, but I read the headlines where fighting up against a man, he didn't even look like, he looked like an effeminate fella, but nevertheless, when there was no match between the two. It was a horrible situation, you know, and everybody was ashamed about the situation afterwards. God forbid. What about this? Psalm 68, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Why is that in the Bible? Why is the woman at home during war? Because all cultures, unless you're out of your mind, unless you are insane, understands this principle. The left and the liberals and the God-haters are using women's supposed equality rights, and the transgenders are right behind them, to try to destroy families, churches, and the nation. This is what this is about. It's not about equality. It's about destroying the family, destroying the distinction, destroying marriages, destroying our nation. Remember, the feminists and the spiritists of the 19th century hated marriage. They hated the nuclear family. But here's what I want you to realize. Not only are they trying to get women to leave their place, but the second you have a godly black woman, for instance, speak out against baby murder or any other wicked, enshrined, pagan principle, you would not believe the wrath that there will be to silence them. They don't say, oh, we're so happy for your right to speak and that you're using, even though we disagree with you, we're so happy that you're using, you know, the platform to get out here and show us what you believe. Oh, no, it's silence. It is shame. You are not allowed to speak. What happened to feminism? What about my body, my choice, which is, what about the baby's body? What about the baby? That was a stupid saying anyway. But notice how fast my body, my choice disappeared anytime a woman, and there are so many women nurses and women, godly women, that are speaking out about vaccinations. See how they are silenced. What happened to the feminists? What happened to all of this agenda? Why are you silencing these women? Why are you forcing these nurses to get vaccinated in their hospital job? And not only that, but not only to get vaccinated, but to veil their faces. What happened to feminism? Folks, it was never about feminism. Feminism was something they were using to control this nation and destroy the family and usurp men. See, this is what you got to understand. The second a woman starts standing for traditional marriage and for babies, the life of babies, or anything else they do not want you to stand for, you will be silenced, tape will be put upon your mouth, and you will be ridiculed and scorned like you would not believe, way beyond anything any fundamental Christian in history has ever done. I tell you, it's crazy what's happening out there. Let me quickly call your attention to some holy, godly boldness of women in the Bible to inspire you in this generation where we need your voice like you would not believe. Oh, I tell you what, I get so encouraged. Nothing, there are a few things that encourage me more than a godly, feminine, sweet woman with boldness standing for principle. I mean, I'll just tell you, that is absolutely one of the most encouraging things that I will watch a video of a godly woman in a feminine way debating and telling all. I mean, I'll just watch it over and over and over. I just love it. I love to see that type of thing. But I remember Ruth in the Bible. Though a Midianite by birth, she believed on the Lord and she honored Naomi and went over to Bethlehem and to Israel. And she took initiative, even though a stranger in the land, to take care of Naomi. And she said, would you permit me to go glean? I want to get out here and work and glean from the fields to make sure we have money. And Naomi allowed her to. And with boldness, she went up to the servants and spoke to the servants of Boaz's field. And then she had boldness to speak to Boaz. And then she humbly spoke and thanked him for his grace to her. And later, boldly, in obedience to Naomi, she initiated marriage to Boaz, who was older, and he took that as a great kindness and grace, and she ended up being in the line, bringing forth a child in that line of David, and it's just an amazing, beautiful story of Ruth's boldness. What about Caleb's daughter, who was bold to go ask her father, when even her husband seemed a little frightened about the prospect for springs of water, and you see her boldness with her father. But I want to call your attention to one of the most famous examples of feminine boldness in the Bible. God had spoken. We've made it to Numbers 27 now, and they are dividing the land out and getting things straight with the census. And there's a problem. It says, then came the daughters of Zelophehad. And these are the names of his daughters. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. Who's laughing? I never even seen that, but I was going to say, I've just never seen anybody called Hogla yet. All these sweet names of the Bible, Hogla. Okay, and now notice, Sopek, it's your fault. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation. by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So certainly they're going to be quiet because they're before all the leaders. And obviously you got a mixed company. And obviously you got all of these people here. But they stood before saying, our father died in the wilderness. He was not in the company of them. I wonder if they were nervous. Nervous or not, they're speaking up. They're speaking up before this great company. I got to quit preaching. And they gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah. He's saying, they were saying, our father was not of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. Said only the sons are getting the land divided and getting an inheritance in their father's name. We didn't have a brother. Why aren't we getting an inheritance? And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. How awesome Moses was to say, you know, let's think about this thing. This hasn't come up yet. I've received the law, and there's nothing in this thing about this issue that you're raising. So I'll tell you what, I'll go back to God, and we'll ask God about this question. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them of a possession of an inheritance. Now, that's pretty awesome. What was the difference between how these daughters addressed this perceived, felt problem of injustice and the way the children of Korah did? They said, our father wasn't of that number. So they're not. Well, what's the difference? Anybody have an idea or just want to give an... There's humility. Anything else? Respect of authority. They're not coming with a murmuring spirit of accusation and rebellion, you know. They're not accusing Moses. How dare you? Yeah, I cannot believe you would treat women this way. And who is this God of your... They're not coming with that attitude. They're not coming with a satanic spirit. They're saying, is this fair? What about this? No matter what everybody else was thinking, Moses, I think it was just silence. Moses said, hey, you really got a good point. There's nothing in God's law that he's given us about. Let me go ask God what he thinks. And he came back and said, hey, God says he agrees with you. We're going to write into the law something new now. I tell you, when our Baptist forefathers, they were about to make the whole concept. You know what we need? If there's a civil war in America, we really ought to have a Bill of Rights. Have you ever thought about that? That'd be nice. It's just First Amendment, Second Amendment, and we could write down, like, we can have guns and freedom of speech and freedom of religion. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Well, that's what they did at the first revolution. We actually supposed to have that today. You know, I'm being facetious a little bit. But they went and said, hey, what about freeing the churches? What about a free church? What about free medicine? I don't mean socialism. I mean that you don't have to have a license to be a doctor and all of this other nonsense that's controlling America. But anyway, these daughters were not careless. What I mean is, they cared about not just their property rights, they cared about their father's name. They cared about the heritage of their father. And, you know, that could preach for a while. What has our fathers delivered unto us? You know, you might have to go back a few generations, but there was some wonderful things delivered unto you biblically and as a nation, and nobody cares about them anymore. They're just letting them be trashed, you know. We need some women to rise up and care about things, care about what's happening to the family, care about what's happening to women, care about what's happening to the daughters and the sons. Why does anybody care? Now, you can imagine who's going to use these daughters. What I'm trying to show is there was some assembly here that these women were able to speak before, and they went before it boldly. And God agreed with them. Now, the feminists are going to use this to erase any distinction or restriction upon a woman's speech, and this will be the place that they will come. And don't worry, it's not just the women with the women's Bible, but what about the queer Bible commentary? Oh, they love this. This story has power for the queer reader, a challenge to authority. Is that really what we have here? Okay, look in these daughters. So now the queer. I put not down here just in case anybody ever turns on this slide and sees that I quoted that. Okay, not. Now, what I want you to understand is the same Bible that tells women to be silent also praises them for speaking up at the right time and right manner. That's so important. That's so important. Because many times women could say, well, I'm not supposed to speak. That's not my place. I'm just going to be quiet. I'll let people go to hell. I'll let marriages be destroyed. I'll let children be destroyed because I'm just a woman. You know, I'm careless. I'll just go do my job. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong to leave your place, and it's also wrong not to cry out and do what you can as a woman to get in the way of sin. You understand that? Don't you let the devil get away with things and just destroy everything. I mean, God forbid. I want you to know it is Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Remember that. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When God goes to explain a virtuous woman, He doesn't show her silence as much as He shows the fact she opens her mouth. There must be something about not being a virtuous woman that causes you to be quiet when you should not be. See, oh, we know that godly, virtuous women are going to respect authority. They're not going to be competing with men, and they're going to be everything that the Bible tells them to be in 1 Peter without the word. We understand that. I'm just saying in Proverbs 31, she openeth her mouth. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. It says her price is far above rubies, and it says in Proverbs 3, that she is more precious than rubies, talking about wisdom. So here's the woman, the virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies, and she opens her mouth, and the Bible tells us that God's wisdom is more precious than rubies. It appears that God's wisdom is a picture of the virtuous woman, or shall we say the virtuous woman is supposed to be a picture of God's wisdom. So what a wonderful thing. The Bible says, by wisdom, God created the world. By wisdom, kings reign. What a wonderful thing that the woman is a walking embodiment of God's wisdom. A walking picture, shall we say, of God's wisdom. Notice, it says, Proverbs 12, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Proverbs 4 says, a crown of glory shall she, God's wisdom, deliver to thee. I mean, how many other pictures do you need to show? It shows in one verse that wisdom is calling out to people, inviting them to a type of hospitality feast, you know, where it's hospitality evangelism, to where she's prepared her table and she's inviting people to come eat of her table and receive instruction. It says, just like it says, the virtuous woman opens her mouth. We have wisdom herself in Proverbs 8, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. I believe there's a place for women to do that somewhere. Somewhere. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the past. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Now, the wicked adulterous woman also calls people on the way, but for an entirely different purpose. So I believe you see God's wisdom, God's churches, and you also see a godly woman here contrasted to an ungodly woman who she calls people for sin. See, two different purposes, two different purposes. What about Psalm 68? The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Historically, this is taken in two different ways. Verse 11. Either women are announcing that the battle is upon the nation, the camp. And great was the company that published the fact that we're at war. The battle is upon us. I heard the trumpet blow. What are you doing in your tent? Wake up, wake up. Go to war, go to war. The battle is upon us. That's one interpretation. The second interpretation, that the battle's already over in one sense, and this is the announcement of the victory. Like, remember Miriam the prophet, and remember after David slew Goliath. In the Bible, after a war and after a victory, you see the women come out and publish and singing and dancing and timbrels and tambourines and things, and they proclaim the victory throughout all the land, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. The Bible shows women, our King James Bible says, great was the company. The Bible shows a picture here of Zion, like unto a woman. And it says, Isaiah 40, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Remember where wisdom was we saw crying out? O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, another woman, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Throughout this whole book, Jerusalem's likened unto a woman. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. It's showing the feminine announcement that the battle has been won. God has defeated your enemies. Now, I don't like the fact that the NIV, understanding these things, but for different reasons, gets rid of the King James Bible company and actually inserts women. It says, the Lord, this is the psalm according to the NIV, the Lord announces the word and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. I believe that's true, but I don't want it written into my Bible. See, God has a reason for what he puts and the words he chooses, and I stick with the King James Bible. The NASB says, the Lord gives the command, the women who proclaim it. The women who proclaim good news are a great army. And it's not just that. Some of the versions that the King James translators used and discerned and argued about and thought about and prayed about, such as the Geneva, says the Lord gave matter to the women to tell of the great army. So either the victory or the fact that Satan is upon us and you need to fight. But they translate it, the women. Spurgeon says, great was the company of those that published it. The women ran from tent to tent and roused their lords to battle. Ready as they always were to chant the victory, they were equally swift to publish the fact that the battle note had been sounded. The 10,000 maids of Israel, like good handmaids of the Lord, aroused the sleepers, called in the wanderers, and bade the valiant men to hasten to the fray. Oh, for the like zeal in the church today, that when the gospel is published, both men and women may eagerly spread the glad tidings of great joy. Do we not need women today to say, do you understand what Satan's doing? Do we not need Deborahs to rouse men and let them know we need to have a war? We need to fight. We need to stand in the way of what the devil's doing. The family's being destroyed. The fundamentals of the faith are being cast aside. Praise God, we need women to say, you're at battle and you need to wake up and let's get in this battle. We also need women to proclaim what the Lord has already done, that God has already defeated the devil, so to speak, and he will complete that job later. And we need to walk in the victory that God has given us already. A practical illustration of the book of Psalms in 1826 says, when the enemies of man's salvation were vanquished by the resurrection of Christ, this is their comment on the psalm we were reading, this great victory was first notified by women to the disciples. Did they not start that great company that announced the resurrection of Christ? Were they? That's why I like the fact that it says great was the company. It's not just women. But they announced it to many others. The fact that Jesus has been born, the Messiah is here, and not only that, but he has been resurrected. Praise God that women were the first to announce that victory, but it spread to where it was announced all over the world. all over the world. Great was the company that published this news, but it did begin with the women. It did begin with the women. Matthew 28, the angel answered and said unto the what? To the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. What a wonderful thing. People say, oh, the Bible's against wisdom. Have you read the Bible? The Bible's not against women. It shows women being told by the angels of the news of the resurrection of Christ. Go quickly and tell his disciples. That's a woman. That's women going and telling the disciples. If you have a group of disciples, they're walking up and saying, hey, the Lord's resurrected. Well, you're not supposed to speak. Where does it say that? See, they went and told the disciples. I'm sure they're all sitting around in a group, sitting at a table, eating, doing whatever they're doing, sitting there depressed. And they walk up and said, hey, the Lord resurrected. He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Should not women do the same thing today? Should you not be running with fear and joy to announce all that God has taught us in the Bible? Luke 24. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, they had to admit later, which were early at the sepulchre. John 20 gives his version. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. But Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I'll keep the AV's company. The great was the company that published it. But I understand the context is in regard to women. But I'm going to tell you, I believe both male and female. And even if you had a trumpet call in the camp that there's war and there's people that aren't getting the point and aren't listening, I'm sure it wasn't just women, but it was probably children as well as male and female that were going and trying to wake everybody up and tell them. And not only that, let me say one more thing. In the Bible, you see not just women singing victory songs. You see men and women singing victory songs, okay? And it'll be the same thing in glory. Judges said, then sang Deborah and what? Barak. Saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. So, if women are leading these wonderful victory songs, men are participating. Men are participating. So, praise God for women that sing the victory songs in the house of God and sing the victory songs outside the house of God. Praise God for those that stir us up to edification, portraying the beauty of holiness inside the church. And praise God for women inside and outside the church who stir men to battle, who stir men to manliness, that the attack is upon us, and do not be asleep and do not be unaware. Isn't this what we see in Delilah? Delilah was doing what a woman should do in one sense, but she was a very wicked, deceitful woman. But listen to what she says. Judges 16, Delilah therefore took knee ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. You know, and there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them forth from off his arms like a thread. You know, what I want to point out is she's coming to Samson saying, the Philistines be upon thee. Very deceitful, very wicked, but the point being, apply this to godly women. Shouldn't they be announcing the devil, the enemy, is upon us? The devil's kicking down the door of the house. He's coming after the children. Should not women be looking at what the devil's doing and helping to announce it and helping to stir up to battle and resisting the devil so he will flee? I think so. I think it's part of her building her house, part of that edification and building it up. But the foolish woman, she tears it down with her hands. She doesn't need the devil to do it. She just tears it down herself. Let's go throughout some of the Bible quickly here. What about this? John 2, there was a wedding. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. My point is, that was a wonderful, beautiful thing. None of those servants, I believe, told her, you need to be quiet. You don't need to be telling us anything, lady. James may remember, but it was a long time ago, too long. They had invented chat rooms. And you had to sit there and have the dial up, you know, and it would kind of, I didn't know what the internet was. James told me, hey, this thing's called the internet, and here's a chat room, and you go in it. And there was always this fella, I guess it was a fella, but he would come in, Abinadab or something. And if any woman ever came into the Christian chat room, he would say, hey, are you a woman? Be quiet. You're not supposed to talk. And boy, it'd get into a big fight every single time, you know. And like a dummy, I took the handle Free Grace. He's like, hey, what are you doing talking? I'm a man. So anyway. John 4, what about this one? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. That's an example of being in the gate, isn't it? Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified he told me all that ever I did. That's a woman getting saved, a Samaritan woman, believing in the Messiah and going and telling a whole city of men, hey, he's the Messiah. Are you telling me today that women can't go into the city and tell all the men of the city that Jesus is the Christ, that has resurrected? If the women could go to the disciples and say, Jesus is resurrected, can they not go like this woman and say, he is the Messiah? Not only is he the Messiah, he's resurrected. What if women did that more? Everywhere they went, you know what? Jesus is the Messiah. Here's what he did. Can I give you my testimony? Can I tell you what he did? He resurrected and proclaimed. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And they say, be quiet, you're a woman. Say, I'm sorry, you need to read your Bible again. Matthew 15. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Was anybody around? Was there an assembly? Were the disciples all around? Was there a crowd? Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Well, maybe this is out of order and she needs to be told to hush. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. And you know the story. It ends with Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Praise God for that. I'm not so sure those women that took baseball bats and went into the bars and knocked over all the alcohol bottles. I don't know, there's something in me that kind of likes that. And they're mothers of Israel saying, you're not going to get our men drunk and ruin our families. And so I'm just telling you. Don't go doing something bad. I'm just telling you. We need a little more spunk out of the women, amen? Come on, be a mother in Israel. Let's take care of something. I mean, can you believe there's nakedness everywhere? What have they done to the girl? They're insecure. They think they got to be trashed out and naked to be appealing to a man, that they got to make themselves up like a clown and have purple hair. Come on, women, help them. Help them. They're being led astray by some bad people, you know. And that's the least of what's happening to them. All right, we see a lot of crowds here with women talking and crying and witnessing. Luke 8, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Now, this was a big crowd. And she declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, you should be quiet. No, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. What about Matthew 20? Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, well, what wilt thou? She said to him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy kingdom. Now this was public. We know from other texts that some other disciples got mad about this whole situation. And so she's having a public discussion in a crowd with the Lord Jesus and says, I want my children, my boys, to be left and right. You know, he said, you know not what you ask. That's going to require a lot, you know. And this is of the Father, and he's going to give it. But he never rebuked the desire. And should not women not only want to reign themselves, but have their children reigning in the coming kingdom? Is not that a wonderful thing? Her desire for the kingdom and for her children's reigning there, her boys, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And that was not rebuked. That was not rebuked. Let's look at this one. Luke 1, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. I like that, hill country. Into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias. I'm sure there were some fellows there. And saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I don't know how many men were there in the house, but this was a wonderful thing. And I'm sure you have no problem understanding that you can talk at home. But I'm just letting you see some things in the Bible here. Luke 2, what about this? Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he came by the Spirit, notice now, into the temple. That's a public place, one of the biggest places of public discourse. Then took he him, Jesus, up in his arms, the baby, and blessed God. And Joseph and his mother, so they were there, and Simeon, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. That means after 7 years of marriage, she became a widow, and she is now 84. So she's been a widow for a long time. What did she do all that time not being married? She served God. She served God day and night. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How'd you like her praying for you? Amen to that. I tell you what, God has a place for widows, doesn't he? Boy. And she coming in where? Into the temple where everybody was at, where that had just occurred, where Joseph was, where Mary was, where Simeon was, and others. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Meaning, she didn't stop. She was witnessing about the Lord Jesus to everybody she could, right there in the temple and elsewhere. Nobody told her to stop. Nobody said to quit. What about this? 2 Kings. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azariah, that's a lot of men, went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. They say that's a place for instruction in the things of God. And they communed with her. And she said unto them, under this mixed company crowd, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, that would have been King Josiah, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, because thy heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, he said, you're going to go to your fathers in peace. I'm going to give a reprieve before I bring this judgment that I was going to bring. But what I want to show you is that God used a female prophet to tell Josiah what to do, to tell these men, this crowd of men, these leaders, what to do. And she wasn't shy to speak and give the word of the Lord to these men, to these men. That was not in a New Testament church service. It wasn't in a formal assembly in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts 21. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Something's going on in the homes. There's some prophecies going on, and some women are giving some prophecies. See, in the Old Testament, there were various types of assemblies in the law, the Old Testament. Proverbs 5 says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation, but then there's something called the assembly. Psalms 111 says, praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. What are these distinctions? Psalms 107, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And we could go on and on. But let's take an example in the New Testament of different types of assemblies. 1 Corinthians 11, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Let's remember that. This thing they're praised in. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, a woman prophesying with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Which I believe and have proven before. If you're going to have short hair, just shave it all off and walk around bald. And if it's a shame to be bald, then understand it's a shame to cut your hair short. So it's not long and glorious. This is showing women prophesying. It's assumed that it's somewhat public, somewhere. But notice, now we have something, a change of direction. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there to be divisions among you. Have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God? If any man hunger, let him eat at home. He begins to talk about the Lord's Supper in the assembly of the church. That's a formal church meeting. See, that's separate than having somebody over for dinner or having a gathering of Christians. This is the formal church service. Now, what does he say about the formal church service? Obviously, if it's not a formal church service, the women could prophesy and talk and speak, and as you see all throughout the Bible, as saith the law. But what about when you're having these formal church services or the Lord's Supper and things like that? 1 Corinthians says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, now we're talking about a formal service. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God, and let your women keep silence in the churches. In the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Not just that they're to be under obedience, but many believe that the Old Testament shows you when they can speak and when they cannot, depending upon what type of assembly they are in. See? And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. See, they could talk at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What's in the church? It can't mean the building. It has to mean a certain assembly of the church. A formal assembly of the church, they are not to speak. But when you dismiss the formal assembly of the church, I know you women sure start talking a whole lot. And I've even seen you women, if there's 20 men sitting right here, you're all talking, hey, Jay, bring me this, or hey, so-and-so. And y'all are talking and going and going, and there's all these men present. Not a one of you brethren have said, hey, do you see men here? Hush up. Not one of you have ever done that. Why? I want to know why. Y'all haven't been like Aminadab in the chat room and said, lady, hush. Well, the reason is you understand something innately that we're not in a formal church service anymore. Though you be in the building, though you be having lunch, though there be men around. Now, the feminists, they don't know how to get out of this. So, like Bushnell in God's Word to Women, an old feminist writer, she argued that this is supposed to be in quotation marks, and some Bible versions are following it now. And they're saying Paul is quoting what some Pharisees are saying about let your women. He's saying, I'm not telling you to keep silent. I'm saying that's that naughty law that's saying that, and that's these Pharisees that are telling you to keep quiet in the churches, but I'll never say such a thing. That's them wicked Pharisees. And the queers are using the same thing. See, they're using the same idea. Well, that's not God saying that in the Bible. This is in quotation marks. He's telling you what the bad people are saying. You can just do that with anything you want in the Bible. Just go through and say, well, that's not God saying that. That's a quote. We ought to put, give me a pen. Let's stick some quotation marks there. That's okay, what about the church? Let's see, 1 Timothy 3, these things write I unto thee, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church. Well, what does he say has to happen in the church? In these formal services of the church. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So there's something holy and formal that we are to follow in a church service that shows this picture and shows the nature of things. But the idea that a woman's not to teach, are you going to take that in an absolute sense? That she's never to teach outside the assembly, outside of the church service? Well, what about Acts 18? He began to speak boldly, that's Apollos, in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It says they. And people say, well, she's with her husband and that's why she's teaching him. Well, what about these other examples? What about the woman at the well? What about these other things, you know? Where do you draw the line between teaching and not teaching and that type of thing? These are questions that you have to consider. Not only that, Paul says in Romans 16, greet, but now he reverses it, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Wonder what Aquila thought about that, being put second to his wife. You know? Hi, Christy. Hi, Brother James. Hi, Crystal. Hi, Brother Sopak. Hi, Sister Jackie. Oh, John. Hi, hi. I might as well finish. Let's see. Sister Joanne, hello to you. God bless you. And Brother Jeremy. My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. What a couple. Likewise, greet the church that's in their house. You ever wondered how they did that? Men come over and they have a Bible study and Priscilla's helping and showing and teaching and talking and giving testimonies. But at some point they say, this is church. We're having church now. It's not church 24 hours a day, but at some point it's church. Okay? It's church. There had to be some deciding factor. Some say historically that it was a declaration made. This idea you'll see in Joel 2:15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. 2 Kings, even for the Baalites, they had to proclaim it. Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. Not just a bunch of gatherings or loose gatherings or informal gatherings. No, we're going to have a serious worship time for Baal. And of course, he was going to kill them all. They came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. But they proclaimed it. They called it, you know. Meyer, in 1884, says, prayer and prophetic utterances and meetings on the part of the women are assumed here in 1 Corinthians 11 as allowed. But in chapter 14, on the contrary, silence is imposed upon them. You can compare also 1 Timothy 2, where they are forbidden to teach. He cannot mean in family worship and smaller meetings for devotion in the congregation or more limited circles assembled for worship. And many others could be quoted to show they did their best to try to divide up when you're having a formal church service and when you're not. Something that needs to be considered and decided is what happened in Acts 1 and 2. Acts 1:13 says, when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Were they having a formal church service or were they just getting together and praying? That's the question. Were the women praying or were they not? That's the question. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, including the women. Traditionally, that's what is assumed. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Does all mean all the women it just mentioned? And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter said, no. Standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, the Pentecostals, that's why you got so many Pentecostal women preachers. They take these, say, and they say, I don't care what happened in chapter 14. I know I can go out here with the Spirit of God and preach, get people saved. So they think now they can just go through the Bible as a Pentecostal woman preacher. And but that's where they're getting some of their inspiration. But even if it was true that the daughters did get the Spirit poured out upon them, and that they did go out into Jerusalem or where they were around the temple, and they began to speak and witness the good things of the Lord, how does that give them a right to disobey when Paul says that a bishop is to be a male and that in the formal church service you're to be quiet? See, these things can be true without necessarily jumping to these big conclusions off the boat on either side. Joel says, what Peter quoted, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And he says this happens in the last days. It's still to come, even future. Whatever part of it happened at Pentecost, it's still to come. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Shouldn't you to some degree try to get in on this now? Not with visions necessarily and all of that type of thing, but shouldn't you try to have the Spirit's fullness and get out here and want to get people saved and want to tell people about the great things of God? I think you should. I got a couple more, I'll quit. I don't know how I ended up so long. Acts 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. This is Peter, who just got out of jail, miraculously. Came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness and ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Was that a formal church service or an informal church service? If it was informal church service, then she had every right to go in and tell everybody, hey, Peter's out here. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. We don't believe it. We're praying for it, but we don't believe it. This doesn't appear to be a formal church service to me. The church and had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. Gather the church together means to assemble it formally. On the Sabbath, says Luke, we went out of the city by riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women, which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her household, she besought us, saying, if we have judged me to be faithful, if you have, to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So they went down to a river. They saw some women praying. They had Bible study with them. They talked with them. The women talked. Lydia said, you need to come over to my house and let me take care of y'all for a while. There's a feminist writer, Patricia Martin. She has a book called Hidden Work, Baptist Women in Texas from 1880 to 1920. Looking back at the history, and I verified some of this, she says the Sunday morning service was the most formal of the assemblies. Designation was the crucial factor, however. The group assembled on Sunday morning for worship might call for a dismissal prayer, following which the same group in the same place would become an informal assembly and a woman could make an address. Or she might speak prior to the call to formal worship. One Baptist church, when they wanted to award and praise this elderly lady missionary, before church started, they went outside and they gathered and they gave her an award and she spoke and then they came in and had the formal church service. I'm just telling you how some did it. These are things you got to consider. At what degree does something become the formal church service? You know, these are things for you to seek and discuss and fight about. No, I am just totally kidding about that. If you don't get anything out of this, I want you women to have a greater passion to get out here. And God wants you to speak up for Him, okay? He wants you to get out here, witness, and bring people to Christ. And He wants you to stand in the way of the devil and be mothers and daughters in Israel, okay? So I want y'all to get some holy boldness and get out here and get some things done for Jesus. Here's an example of what we call a formal church service. Paul says, this is my last verse, 1 Corinthians 5, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, in my spirit with the power, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, they blew a trumpet for whatever type of assembly you're going to have. So maybe we just need a good trumpet to decide, and you know, uh-oh, I know what type of assembly it's going to be. Hey, how about we open the floor now for some discussion? Just a few minutes. For the mic.
Well, I have a praise that I think is a perfect example of this.
Please, brother.
Let
me get back here and get you, man, because there's going to be people listening to the tape. Video.
If someone's listening to this, I don't know if you want this on the
okay.
tape necessarily.
All right. I'll go back up here then.